The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Ulster Bank. For when you want business experts that get to know you, not just your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/businessmatters.
Later this month, the Department of Business, Enterprise and Innovation is publishing a Future of Jobs strategy. It's looking at how to increase productivity and innovation. But one of the other things it's reviewing is how to address more flexible working arrangements that benefit both employers as well as parents and other employees. We're joined now by three people who have interests in this area. Julie Austin, employment law partner at McDougall Purcell. Employer Rena Maycock, who runs two companies, Intro Match Making and a child protection software company, and Ian McGowan-Smith, who runs HR Ireland. Rena, coming to you first, talk to me about some of the key observations you've had about workplace practices, and ultimately, do you think they're equal for both parents?
I don't, and I've got experience on both sides as an employer and an employee, and I, you know, particularly with our small business Intro Matchmaking, we've got 7 employees and it's mainly female led because of the nature of the business that we're in. And as a small employee or employer, it's extremely important for us to think strategically about the staff that we take on. Now, in the current economy where we've got unemployment, which is at 5% there or thereabouts, which is damn near 0% unemployment, employers really don't have the luxury of discriminating. Really, what you need to do is look for people that have the right skills to fit the role. Now, if I were to say that, honestly, all employers do that, they literally just think about picking the person with the right skills, I'd be lying, because there isn't a small to medium-sized enterprise owner out there that does not think in the back of their mind when they're doing the interview process about the living circumstances and the status of the person that's sitting opposite them. They may not ever say it, but they certainly will be thinking it. You know, for instance, if you're looking to hire someone for a particular role and a woman comes in and you'll subconsciously look to the ring finger to see if there's an engagement ring. And if there is, you'll be thinking, okay, what age perhaps is this girl? Is she going to be, you know, in this role for 2 or 3 years? And then she'll be coming in saying she's looking for maternity leave. And as a woman with 2 small kids, I sympathise with that, but as an employer, it's a very difficult situation to be in and you have to be cognizant of that. You know, for instance, with Intro, we've got 7 employees. So if someone goes out on maternity leave or goes travelling for 6 months or for whatever reason it is on sick leave, it's impossible for us to attract somebody to come in and take a short-term contract, particularly in this climate. And then you're talking about if you do manage to get somebody to come in on a short-term contract, you're training them for 3 months before they're at productivity level that's equal to the person that vacated the role. And then perhaps you have to be cognizant of the fact that they are going to be out there employing or interviewing for full-time permanent roles. So chances are they'll leave that role before that person comes back into fill the space. So with a small to medium-sized enterprise, ultimately when people go on leave for whatever reason, the people that are in the company existing need to take up the slack.
Julie, does that sound familiar in terms of the cases that you're seeing? And ultimately, do you see a lot of women bearing the brunt of just poor workplace practices?
I mean, one thing that we do see a lot of is when an employee comes back from having taken a period of maternity leave, their role has gone or it has changed significantly because of these types of issues that you've just identified. And there is an obligation on an employer to allow the employee back into the same work or a suitable alternative role. And that's, you know, fundamentally where we see a lot of the disputes occurring or a lot of the claims arising in the courts. I think employers are getting better at offering flexible working. There is a shift towards that. It's because, you know, it's so difficult to attract and retain staff that employers must be more flexible. They must allow people to work from home or to adjust their working hours. So I do think there is a trend towards more flexible working.
Ian, do you think there have been changes? You're an expert in the area of HR. Is this country changing when it comes to workplace practices?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of change. So some of it, I suppose, you know, the company I run, we deal with a lot of small, medium-sized enterprises all over the country. So there's even a bit of a city and rural divide in some ways, the way things are handled. But essentially, I suppose, because of the preponderance of employment law and because of the need to be compliant, you know, the one thing that I would just find now, say, as opposed to 15, 20 years ago, is that the vast majority of companies will have some sort of handbook and policies, and that in itself drives people to at least think about it and do something about it and document it and have something in place for their employees to look at. So that's certainly driving it. One of the other things we do is we bring in, say, larger companies, and we might you know, localise their policy. So you get companies coming in from Canada, the US and that kind of stuff. So there's a challenge with multinational companies coming in, with different cultures coming in terms of why do you do that or why is that allowed? Okay. So I think part of the problem to some of this is there's both an employment aspect to it, but there's a whole societal aspect to it. And the societal aspect is, you know, what do we want to do with the child and look at mm-hmm. how do we look after the children and make sure they're properly looked after and facilitate people? Because I know somebody who works for me, for example, if they're happy and mm-hmm. they're not worried, they're going to give me a much better productivity. I think it's common sense. Yeah.
In terms of common sense proposals and alternatives, Rena, what have you seen? What would be on your wish list for us to consider here as a country that maybe you've seen in others?
I certainly think that there should be more done by government, certainly legislation. If you look at the Swedish model, for instance, you know, they can take both men and women can share in the parental leave, and I think it's 16 months, and it's mandatory for the father to take some of that leave. I think it's a minimum of a month.
Yeah, so they have up to 480 days maternity leave, and I think up to 390 days, 80% is paid at salary, full salary. Mm-hmm. So there is an incentive there for fathers to take parental leave. Now, there has been a private member's bill introduced earlier last year whereby shared maternity leave is now being considered in Ireland. But I think we're going to be some time away from seeing that coming into effect in Ireland. I think one of the key changes that we need is to have an obligation placed on employers in statute that they must consider flexible working arrangements. Mm-hmm. We don't have that at the moment. In the UK, there is a legislation in place which requires that employers do consider requests for flexible working. There's no similar legislation in Ireland. All we have in Ireland is a code of practice at the moment rather than a legal obligation to consider those requests.
And Julie, that's obviously where we'd like to get to. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, it would seem women are bearing the brunt of poor work practices. What's your advice to women who come to you who have been maybe mistreated? Do you advise them to take cases? Like, what's the practical to-dos?
I think women are reluctant to bring legal claims against their employers because of they will be considered to be a troublesome employee.
So would you advise them to take claims?
I would advise them to consider it very carefully. It's a very small country. You know, if you have a lot of women are concerned that if they do bring a claim that will have a negative impact on their ability to find work in the future. Now, the law did change about 3 years ago. Previously, when you did bring a discrimination claim, the claims were held in public, the hearings were held in public, and the decisions were made publicly available. The law changed in 2015, and now the claims are heard in private and the decisions are anonymous. Mm-hmm. So they're not as, you know, you may get away with it becoming published that you did bring a claim against your employer. But look, it's a very small country. If people do bring claims against their employers, they may get a bad reputation, undeservedly, for doing that. So it is, a lot of working mothers are very reluctant to even raise a grievance internally, rather than even going down the formal legal route.
Okay. In my experience, and certainly in my circles, women with children tend to work harder deliberately and be more productive to prove that having children isn't mm-hmm. impacting on their productivity. Mm-hmm. So in actual fact, as an employer, you're far better off having a woman that's got children. And certainly, you know, I was discussing this with Aideen. In terms of the burden for picking up the kids and who's the point of contact for the creche and all that kind of thing, I think those decisions now are made between, you know, the father and the mother. Mm-hmm. I generally don't think that there's a predisposition to always call the mother. I think it's about who's working where and who's got the more flexible hours or the more understanding employer or that kind of thing. So, you know, certainly my in my view, and my advice to any sort of employers that are in my situation, and there's loads of research out there to suggest that female-led companies in management are far better performing, so don't discriminate against women that have kids.
I have to answer that too.
What are the practical changes, just briefly, that you think are possible, and what approach should we be considering as a country?
Well, when you're listening to the debate here in over a very short time space, but there's a couple of things. One is saying, it'd be nice if people could be paid. Now, for small businesses and that kind of thing, affordability is a problem. But there were certainly things being floated in relation to maybe giving support for creche or the other thing, the idea of maybe the granny grant, I think they were calling it at one stage, the idea that maybe the parents of people, there'd be some sort of level of support in helping young children. But in a practical place in the workplace, I think from a human resources point of view, it's really having good grievance procedures and good ability to deal with any issue that arises and do something practical.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Ian McGann-Smith, Julie Austin and Rena Maycock. Thanks for joining us.